Welcome to Cows, Plows, and Things That Grow, the Utah Farm Bureau podcast. Utah Farm Bureau's mission is to inspire all Utah families to connect, succeed, and grow through the miracle of agriculture. Working closely with the Utah legislature is an important part of that mission. In this episode, we'll be hearing from some of the legislators we've been working with through the legislative session and learning how they got involved in public service and policy. Wade Garrett is Vice President of Advocacy and Strategic Relationships for the Utah Farm Bureau. He was at the state capitol as the 2025 legislative session was wrapping up, and he'll introduce our first guest.
My name is Wade Garrett. I think it's very important that the public understands that they do have a voice at the capitol and among other elected officials all the way down to city councils, that Utah Farm Bureau is watching out for the needs of agriculture in this state and to try to keep that fabric of our state and that important piece of our state and in front of legislators and other important decision makers, keep it on their forefront all the time, understanding the importance of their food security, not only as a state issue, but as a national issue. We get the opportunity to work with great legislators on both sides. Scott Sandel is a wonderful senator from the northern part of our state, grew up in Box Elder County, has a very successful ag operation. We're lucky to have him as a friend.
Interestingly enough, I've always had roots in Farm Bureau since I graduated from high school, and especially when I got back from college. Have been very involved and interested in Farm Bureau, served as a young farmer and rancher chair, served on the national committee, served as the state chair, also served back as on the state board of directors. And at that point in time in my life, my family had grown up. We were kind of becoming empty nesters, and I was on the state board of directors for Farm Bureau, and somebody came to me and said, "Hey, do you realize there's no one in the House or the Senate right now that lists full-time farming or ranching as their occupation?" And I said, "No, I did not realize that." And they said, "You ought to consider it." Interesting point. One of the things that was most surprising to me, I guess, the first year I was up here, is an email that started with "honorable" and ended with "you suck." I thought that was really interesting. And that's sometimes how it goes around here, is you're not going to make everybody happy. And sometimes you just get to the point where you're going to make both sides unhappy, and you figure maybe you're in a good spot there. There are a lot of other pieces of legislation that we look at and run that are minor adjustments, maybe something that we're repealing. A lot of stuff just is easy to carry. But you really know you've got a hold of an issue when you have both sides just coming at you from both angles. And sometimes you just have to be the judge and the jury and mediate that and get it to a spot where both sides don't like all of everything, but both sides got something, and you figure you've got to compromise. Then you got to convince your colleagues that you've gone as far as you can one way or another. And sometimes you just have bill files that you abandon, or sometimes you have bill files that that die.
Or somebody comes along with a substitute bill and changes everything before you know it.
Somebody can do that. there's three kind of rules up here that I've always tried to follow a little bit. There are three P's. There's people, process, and policy. And if you don't learn the first two, people and process, it's really hard to get policy passed. You've got colleagues that you're working with, and you've got a process wherein by that has to happen. And those three guidelines, when a new legislator comes to me, that's probably the one thing I try to share with them, is don't try to run the policy before you understand the process and the people.
So tell me about your farm and your operation and how that influences what you do here.
Yeah, so I'm third generation, Box Elder County. We grow dryland winter wheat. We have about 400 mother cows currently. And that perspective, I think, gives me a great feel for a lot of things in natural resources. And I appreciate that, to me, all of our wealth here in this nation basically comes from things that we grow or mine. That's the basis of new wealth. And when we combine them all, we have a very strong society and a very strong economic outlook. When we try to prohibit some of those activities, we're tightening the noose around some of our economic activity. And so I like to be in that space. We need to grow and we need to develop.
What are the pressures on farming that you think we need to deal with?
The number one pressure of farming and ranching right now is you cannot buy a piece of property for the value that it will return, because people are using it as a store of wealth. And so you get someone who has money that they've accumulated outside the industry, and they want to store it in something besides the stock market or in gold or something else. They see real estate as a great store of wealth and a place that they can go, whether it's recreation or some other in value that they see, but they've overbid the productive value of that. And so I think that's really important going forward. Anything we can do to help bolster some income, keep people on the farm that want to be there, they're going to be always cash poor and capital wealthy.
What can state government do then to protect those interests?
There, we have tried to promote some conservation easements where that helps get some cash into people's hands to be able to be there and not have to develop. We always know private property rights are important, and we'll have to stay the course. If someone does want to sell, they want to cash out, that's their right, and I support that right. Everything we can do in the space of water, as water becomes more valuable, we're going to see the pull of trying to get water moved from agriculture to an industrial or municipal base. That water is going to get expensive. We made great strides, I think, in allowing saved water, where you can hold on to your water right without using it and lease it into a space. I think that's an opportunity going forward that is going to be a little generational as people try to figure that out.
Now, you've been longer here in the legislature than many of the members, and certainly of those we've been talking to today. What still surprises you when you get up here and start with the detailed work?
Every session has a little bit different personality. There's always a surprise that happens occasionally. To try to pick one or another out, the surprises aren't nearly as great as they were the first couple of years for me. I can't say I've seen it all, but I've seen most of it in 11 sessions. I will say that there is, at the end of the day, a spirit of collegiality amongst colleagues. We can argue policy quite a bit, and we always try to keep it not in the personal range or personal level. Sometimes these are long days, and sometimes it does jump into that range, and we have to repent and ask forgiveness to our colleagues and try not to do it too many times. I've been guilty of it in the past, and try to remind myself every day when I get here that let's not make this personal.
Scott Sandel is a Republican state senator representing District 1 in the far northern part of Utah, including Box Elder County and parts of Tooele and Cache counties. Hong Nguyen is a Democrat serving her first term in the Utah House of Representatives. She represents the east side of Salt Lake City and part of Summit County in what is mostly an urban district, but she says she's always been interested in the work of Farm Bureau.
Farm bureaus have been my friends for, 7 years now. So I own businesses, and some of the businesses that I own are out in rural Utah. We have business farms in San Pete County. We have businesses in Carbon County. We have quite a bit of property down in Garfield County. So we've been invested in rural Utah for a very long time now. And when I had the opportunity to meet some folks over at the Farm Bureau, I think we just all really jived with each other with our mission, where our heart is, and what it is that we think is best for Utah.
Well, and what led you to get involved in running for public office?
You know, I never thought I would be in this position. It was not something that I had set out to do. So my family, we are refugees from Vietnam. My dad fought in the Vietnam War with the Americans. So we came to the U.S. as political asylums after the war, and came to Utah in 92. Grew up on the west side of Salt Lake. Unfortunately, my dad was killed right after we had arrived in the U.S. He was just robbed on the streets by two young kids who should not have had a gun. And so my mom wanted a better future for us and moved us here to Utah in 92. Grew up in Glendale, loved the community so much here. And, you know, through hard work and grit, we were able to build the company that we had. And about 6-7 years ago, I started coming up to the state capital to start advocating for more common sense policies as a small business owner. And that's when other lawmakers were saying, you really should consider running with your unique background as a refugee, as a business owner, and the way you're able to really work across the aisle, you have a place here. So that was the first time anyone had ever put that in my head. And after a few years of consideration, I finally said, you know what, maybe they're right. Maybe I should get up here and be a little bit more helpful in trying to build a better Utah here.
And how long have you been serving in the legislature?
This is my freshman year. Oh. So I'm 6 weeks in right now.
In that time, have you seen what priorities are moving through easily and what ideas have a harder time moving through and perhaps how that affects agriculture?
Yes, with the governor setting out his priorities right now, one of those was energy, the focus on energy. And I know that has a huge impact on rural Utah. I've had the pleasure of being able to travel around the state, meet with different commissioners, and kind of learn, you know, what makes Utah, Utah? What makes, you know, rural Utah, even though I'm from an urban area, how we're all interconnected, how the health and success of rural Utah has a great impact on our Wasatch frontier. And I really saw that firsthand over the last 6-7 years of going around and meeting folks. And so the priorities that we have right now, I think there's a good blend between some of these executive priorities that we've laid out. And when we look at rural Utah and energy and our food system and how do we make it all work for a more green, healthier future, I think we have to work together right now. So those are the policies I'm really excited about.
What's been the biggest surprise you've run into since you've begun your service?
Gosh, you know, it has been, everyone had warned me that it moves at such a fast, accelerated pace up here. And the level, the amount of bills that we're passing is just incredible. And so what has surprised me is trying to, as a lawmaker, balance between making sure that you know what you're voting on and how it has impacts on your constituency or the state as a whole. So balancing all of that has been, it's not a surprise, but it's something that has been a surprising awakening to be like, hey, this is real now. This is where the rubber meets the road. So that's where it's my job to get better at making sure I'm prepared and knowing how to balance it all.
Hong Nguyen is a business owner serving her first term as a Utah legislator representing District 23. We'll continue with cows, plows, and things that grow right after this. Attention, Utah Farm Bureau members, we've partnered with Abenity to offer you a bigger and better member benefits platform. With Abenity, you'll get access to all your favorite Farm Bureau discounts, plus thousands of new savings opportunities at over 1 million locations across the U.S. and Canada. Whether you're planning a trip, shopping, dining out, or enjoying local attractions, savings are just a tap away. Download the app today and start saving instantly. Learn more about utahfarmbureau.org/member benefits. Utah Farm Bureau and Abenity, your gateway to exclusive perks. You're listening to Cows, Plows, and Things That Grow, the Utah Farm Bureau podcast. I'm Dan Bomas. Next, we'll hear from State Senator Darren Owens, who lives in Fountain Green in San Pete County. He represents what is the geographically largest Senate district in the state. It covers parts of 10 counties and stretches all the way to the Arizona state line.
It's a little overwhelming to think of, but in that space are the most incredible people, and oh my goodness, the Mighty Five, and all the beauty that Utah has to offer. And then we have these large farms and agriculture, especially Millard County and the dairy operations, and pretty widespread throughout the county. Lots of cattle ranchers, so it's really an honor to serve that population of people.
And poultry in San Pete County, of course.
Yes, for sure.
Which has its own set of worries right now.
It does, and it's been hit with a number of years now with the bird flu issues, and that we are doing all we can to help keep those turkey growers sustained and ready for the next wave of whatever they can stay on their feet and keep producing millions of pounds a year of poultry.
What can the legislature do to help egg producers, turkey growers, and others in that business with the risk that's out there?
Yeah, that's something I've learned being in the legislature. I served 5 years in the House and with you, Evan, San Pete Counties, and since the last five, now my fifth in the Senate. And that's what I've learned, is that there are a lot of programs to help and with water issues, with the bird flu. There are programs out there that we try to create that specialize in keeping this food security for the state. It's vital. One thing we are working on right now, a few years ago, I was honored to sponsor the legislation. We created the Food Security Central Utah Agri-Park. And it's in inception right now, and it's going to be hosting producers of all varieties of animals and fruits and vegetables. We already have on the grounds 100,000 square feet of freezer space. So working in that space with government to have whatever assistance we can to make life sustainable.
Well, protecting that industry, protecting your alfalfa growers is part of your agenda up here. What can you do to make that happen?
There's a lot you can do. First of all, just be a voice to colleagues on the Hill. So when legislation comes forward on whatever variety of topics it could be that impact that or reduce the ability for these farmers and ranchers to grow their products, no matter what they are, from poultry to cattle to eggs and alfalfa, all of them, I can be a voice to make sure, keep an eye on that, speak to other legislators, and give them a rural perspective of which I'm supposed to be, the voice of the people. Last year, we had a bill, 2-3 years ago now, which is livestock collision bill. And we didn't realize it. Once we started studying, we were losing a couple hundred cattle a year on the rails, being hit by rail. And so we ran a bill that really pulled in support from Union Pacific, who at first were, we met with their attorneys, they were so against this. And this year, after they have now invested $30 million plus in fencing the right-of-ways to keep these animals safe and all of the driving vehicles are crossing, we don't realize the number of places that highways crossed Union Pacific. I'm just giving you a little bit of the challenges behind some legislation. I'm proud of that bill because now we have investment from a large industry, one of the largest, Union Pacific, who have come to the table. They met with the ranchers from across the state and have now put $30 million on the ground in fencing and are very sensitive to any hot spots where animals are at risk. So it's been fun.
Darren Owens is a Republican representing Utah's far-flung 27th Senate District, perhaps the most rural of all of Utah's 29 Senate districts. Jill Coford is a Republican representing a mostly urban district in southeastern Weber County. She told us there are many reasons she supports agriculture in Utah, and one in particular.
I like to eat. We all like food. I think there are so many ways that we can support agriculture, and it's important to our economy and our heritage.
So, serving in the legislature here, where have you seen conflict occur or bills come up that needed your attention and needed a little nudge to get over the finish line?
Do you know, I found myself in the middle of a conversation between on urban farms this year, and I learned a lot through that process. We had some concerns with some farms in Weber County that were going to be taken out of our small farming property tax sort of just having some of those benefits with property taxes because we were trying to bring in urban farming. And I don't think it needs to be an either or. I think it can be an and policy, and it needs to be an and policy. Let's keep those commodities on those small lots involved in farming, and let's pave a place for our urban farms.
Are they as well represented as the larger farms, the great big dairy operations, and those of these small urban farms?
I've had a lot of really great conversations with the people who are representing them. I think they probably need to be brought in, just included in the conversation of mindful of that. You know, I was thinking about this on the way in today. My great-grandparents farmed a big ranch where my dad grew up in the Weston area. And when they moved to town, to Preston, and when I came, by the time I came along, that's where they were living, they had what was in my mind the biggest garden I'd ever seen. And grandma and grandpa lived off that garden, and it really wasn't that big, but it was in their backyard. So I'd call them our first urban farmers. And if we can help get people back to a place where they're digging in the dirt and producing their own food, I just think there are so many opportunities to help our community that way.
Some of these issues are complex and difficult. I'm thinking of raw milk.
Yeah.
And keeping that safe, and the state gets involved in those kinds of issues. Have you worked on that?
We have. That came to my committee this year. And certainly I'm coming in at halftime on the raw milk conversation. We consume raw milk at our house. We love being able to get that product. And certainly our raw milk producers, they want to produce safe, good products, and they want to work in concert with the state. I watched them come together in conversations, and I think we got to a really good place on that policy.
How long have you served?
I don't know. Let's see. What day are we in? This is my first session.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, very first session.
All right. What has surprised you then during this session that you didn't anticipate could happen while you were serving?
The collaboration, just the level of collaboration that happens. I think it's really rare that a bill, you know, we all think we're pretty smart as legislators.
Yeah.
We come up with an idea and we write a bill and we think it's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And to get it through the process and not have it amended or substituted or changed is very rare. If it doesn't happen, because there are stakeholders that come to the table to have conversations that pick up on things that, like you said, we might have missed. And to watch that process happen has been really cool. Just to see the way that people come together and work on things and try to find the best policy to move forward.
Well, then you got involved. What pushed you into making a commitment to public service? It's a great way to get, you know, we'd throw eggs at you if there were any. I mean, it's tough. Why do this?
It's so important. We are a citizen legislature. We are a part-time, almost volunteer legislature, and I think that's so important as part of what makes America great, that we don't have professional politicians in our state legislature in Utah. You know, we do things really, really well in Utah, but I think there are a few things we can do better. And a couple of years ago, I was complaining loudly to my husband, who said, if you don't like it, go do something about it. And so here I sit.
Jill Coford won a seat in the Utah House of Representatives from District 10 in 2024, which includes South Ogden and Washington Terrace. Republican Representative Carl Albrecht led a rural electricity cooperative for decades before he retired. Then neighbors and friends urged him to run for the legislature, and he spends his time during the session thinking about how to handle some of the most difficult and complex issues lawmakers have to deal with.
I've historically run tough bills in the legislature, and so I think a lot about those. I lose sleep over them, but I also get my work done early in the session. So right now, most of my bills are on the governor's desk or in the Senate. I've got two or three left. I run a lot of water bills too. I had probably four or five water bills this year. So I've kind of turned into the water guy in the house, which kind of morphed into an all-of-the-above energy bill that will include natural gas, coal gasification, wind, solar, geothermal, transmission lines, anything energy. And I ran a bill on Rocky Mountain Power's energy balancing account, got it through the House committee and House floor, and we used that as a leverage with Rocky Mountain Power to negotiate some other issues.
So what is your vision, I guess, for how the state of Utah ought to manage its affairs and how agriculture needs to be a part of that?
Well, agriculture is very important for the future of Utah, and we got to quit getting rid of acreage and farms because they're the lifeblood. They're the food and fiber that we eat every day. And I just hate to see a farm go into a subdivision. It you lose that culture, that environment that makes us what we are. You know, the first thing Brigham Young did when he stepped into this valley was plant some corn in the middle of July and run some ditches out of the canyons. And that provided the initial culture and the initial work ethic and the initial food for people. And we need to continue that. You know, the ranchers and the farmers in my areas, if they come to me with a problem, I'm going to help them because they're a minority voice anymore. Although I work closely with the Farm Bureau, each and every one of the local chapters in my four counties, I work very closely with them. And if I have a bill that I need their help on, they'll get online and they'll testify. You know, I run prior to COVID, I ran a bill called the Rural Online Bill, and Utah State and the Farm Bureau were using that bill. That was the genesis for what happened during COVID. We started putting all this stuff online, the whole legislative process, and it became so transparent. And it, you know, it's when I go around talking to various groups, I say, I know you hate to travel to Salt Lake, but get online. It's a great opportunity, and well, how do you do that? And once you explain it to them, now they love to do that.
Carl Albrecht lives in Richfield and represents District 70 in the Utah House of Representatives. We thank Senators Scott Sandel and Darren Owens and Representatives Hong Nguyen, Jill Cofort, and Carl Albrecht for joining us on this edition of Cows, Plows, and Things That Grow. Utah Farm Bureau follows a wide range of topics and legislation involving the Utah Legislature, and there's more information about bills and issue positions on the website utahfarmbureau.org. And thank you for listening. I'm Dan Bomas.